Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Judges chapter 3. You know, life is actually a little bit complicated, and trying to figure it out can be a little bit tough. If you've ever tried to figure out why stuff happens in your life, well, there's always two reasons. Number one, there's the horizontal view. That's what you can see with your eyes. But then again, there's what we know as the vertical view, or what God can see looking down from his vantage point. For example, in the book of Genesis, Joseph makes the comment to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." That's the horizontal view, "You meant this for evil," clashing with the vertical view, "But God meant this for good." Same with David. When David was walking through the country, Shimei, one of the relatives of Saul, cursed him from afar. When one of his men said, "You know, let's stop that knucklehead. I think I'm going to go kill that guy." David said, "No, he's cursing me for being a murderer, because I murdered his family. The worst thing I could do right now is murder him. And in fact, I think what he's saying is from God. I deserve this, and I need to hear it, and I need to change." David seemed to always keep in mind the horizontal and the vertical view. Well, in the book of Judges, particularly chapter 3, we're going to see there's a divine purpose of God's plan running alongside the plans of the Israelites. When they want to compromise with their neighbors, God wants to bring them to utter and complete surrender. When they want to build a bargain with the Canaanites, God wants to break them. When they are worshiping false gods, God wants to expose their falseness. In verse 1, we're told, "These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previous battle experience." Now, that is a vertical view of a horizontal problem. And in verse 4, we're told, "They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's command, which he had given us, their ancestors, through Moses." Then in verse 7, we're given another reason from a vertical perspective. Verse 7 says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died." From the horizontal view, it just seemed like their enemies were more powerful. But from the vertical view, there was a much better understanding and explanation. And that was namely that they had stopped worshiping and trusting God. We'll see a dance routine that's going to keep recurring over and over in this book. The cycle of the judges in 6 easy dance steps is this. Number 1, the people are disobedient. Number 2, God's angry. Number 3, the Israelites get into bondage. Number 4, they cry out to the Lord. Number 5, God raises up a delivering judge in answer to their prayers. And number 6, there's peace for a time. Now put that on the rinse and repeat cycle, and you've got the book of Judges in their downward spiral. The first judge in verses 7 to 11 is called Othniel. Now we're told that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and this anointing of the Holy Spirit will continue through David's reign, and he will mention, quote, "God teaching my hands to war." One of the coolest things about the book of Judges is this anointing of the Spirit is kind of like a superpower that gives them great military prowess or strength. And we'll see in the book of Judges and later in David's Mighty Men that this anointing of the Spirit caused them to do things that were pretty much superhuman. Eat your heart out, Batman and Captain America. The second judge is Ehud, my personal favorite in the book of Judges, mainly because, like me, he's left-handed. Secondly, because the story's funny and gross all at the same time. It involves a disgusting assassination and some bathroom humor partway through. Now, in those days, a left-handed man was not expected to fight. All fighters were right-handers. Therefore, the sword would be hung at the left side of your body. And when you drew your sword, your right hand would go to the left side of your body so you could pull the sword out of its scabbard and stab. But Ehud, being a left-handed man, when he reached his left hand to the right side of his body and said, "I have a message for you from God," everyone thought he was reaching for a rolled-up scroll. To their surprise, a sword came out and then went in to the belly of the king. And thus the king was killed. But what's kind of gross is it says that the fat actually rolled over the hilt of the sword, and Ehud could not retrieve it. That's gross and kind of cool. But what's even more cool is the fact that the left-hander was considered worthless. He couldn't really form up in formation on the field of battle, and therefore Ehud would be someone that most military generals would chuck away. In fact, Judges is a book filled with unlikely heroes, reluctant heroes, people that you would never think that God could actually use, and yet between women, left-handed men, and a bunch of scaredy cats, God raises up his judges. And by the way, that's not a denigrating term on women. Women are very honored in the book of Judges as unlikely heroes as they are actually in real life. Unlikely not because they're unlikely in themselves, but because they often get overlooked by men. Unless you think I'm just being politically correct, let me tell you, I am raising two girls right now, and I'm a little afraid of them. The book of Judges tells us that all of these judges were extremely flawed and unlikely heroes, and that gives us hope. I don't know about you, but if God can use knuckleheads like these, he can certainly use me, and he can completely use you. Best of all, like the king in the story of Ehud, sometimes the enemy doesn't even see us coming. I know he certainly wouldn't have picked any of the 12 apostles that Jesus picked to turn the world upside down and to turn back the kingdom of darkness. Hebrews 11 is known as the Great Hall of Faith, and in there, the author of Hebrews actually talks about people that, again, were unlikely heroes. For example, Abram was not likely to become the father of nations. He was childless at the age of 90. Therefore, imagine everybody's surprise when God used him to populate a new nation of people. And so Hebrews 11 unfolds in much the similar way, showing us that God picks unlikely people. And the best of all is that the book of Judges has the most people out of any book. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah." How's that? Four people straight out of the book of Judges to tell us, no matter what a knucklehead you are, or how much of a poster child for ineptitude you are, God can and will use you if you'll step forward in faith. Well, read the book of Judges chapter 3 today, and as you do, rejoice that God uses left-handed men and women.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.